Right. It's a good morning and welcome to Unpacking. This is our last edition for this week. And this is, of course, Friday, the 7th of August. That is, of course, we are, you know, starting the first week of, we are not yet in the first week. The first week of August starts tomorrow and ends on the 15th. Then the second week will start on the 15th, ending on the 22nd. Then the third will start on the 22nd, ending on the 29th. So the 15th will start the second week. And the 22nd, we start the third week. Then the 29th, we start the last week. So, that is the order. Before we get into today's stories, I want us to have a run through of what we already have covered this week. Just one of the major stories or this week, the major stories that the major stories that are of impact, of significance, significant importance. Like of significant importance. Okay, I got it. We started with analyzing the issue of the Kasi vibe, where we said that, well, the Kasi vibe is a good idea, good initiative, but especially for this one, for this year, the location was not, you know, that much accessible to many young people, because young people are the ones that chill. And but hosting it at Brakwater, a recreation center. Well, maybe it was a good choice to, from an inclusive point of view, but it was not from an economic point of view, so young people could not go in numbers. It was not well attended this year. Then we also looked at the story of, you know, natural gas, oil and gas, and then versus, you know, decarbonization. That was oil and gas versus decarbonization. And then we looked at whether or not we can decarbonize and at the same time calling for, still using oil and gas as a tool or as a one of the economic enabler in the NDP6. We also looked at the NDP6, and then we checked whether or not we are on track with, you know, as far as achieving the NDP6 goals is concerned, and looking at the fact that we are just 3 years in the targeted year of 2030. We also looked at AI, MasterCard, Africa, where we looked at the issue of Africa, free continental trade area. And in fact, there was a summit in Durban. There was a summit in Durban that was held on SADC. Let me just get to the story here. So now, in Durban there was a SADC summit that started from the 27th to the 31st of July. And this summit is an industrial week. And it's a 9th industrialization week. And that was to talk on the industrialization of Africa. So they want to be resilient and inclusive through industrialization and development, looking at agriculture and mineral resources. So, and they want to make sure that there is a critical mineral beneficiation. So, and they are looking for political commitment. And they are talking about integration and regional industrialization. So, and they also want to have science, technology, and innovation as part of their industrialization. And of course, when it comes to technology and innovation, that or industrialization itself, it creates a demand for technology. Or technology itself creates demand for industrialization. And they are also focusing on agro-processing and pharmaceuticals. And according to the 2015-2063 SADC ambition and vision, they want to make sure that they transform themselves from, you know, primary commodity-driven economies to secondary or tertiary, you know, commodities. Because with the thing with a primary commodity, such as oil, diamond, and the raw material, they are vulnerable to, they create vulnerability in the economy. Because, for example, we are talking about synthetic diamond. Should we start to have synthetic everything? Synthetic timber, synthetic gold, synthetic whatever. The economies which depend on primary commodities will suffer because of the synthetic commodities that might flood the market. Or the fluctuation in terms of the demand of certain commodities will leave certain, you know, economies vulnerable. If you just export raw materials, so, and this brings us to what we were talking about yesterday. So I didn't even know, I was not even aware of this summit. I just stumbled upon it later after I was done with the show of yesterday. But that is also very good, because the story I'm talking about now, and I want you to go and read deeper, because I'm just giving you the taster, because I'm not supposed to read the paper for you. I'm just taking points from the paper so that you go and read the paper for yourself. What I want is you go and reading it for yourself. Because if I tell you what is in the paper, and if I go word by word, then there'll be no need, you'll not have a need for you to go and read the story. So I'll just take the points from the paper, or from the stories, and analyze those points. But I want you to, when I'm talking, you must parallel my voice with what is on the paper. The Villager newspaper for today. That is, of course, the 7th of August edition. The story is written by Helmut Mahongo, one of our anchors here. He's the one that has written the SADC Industrial Recap, or the SADC Industrial Week, where, you know, they want to talk about resilience, inclusive resilience, industrial development, and, you know, looking at agriculture and mineral, you know, beneficiation. And they are looking at integrating Africa and making it one single market through the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. And they are talking about refraining from primary commodity-driven economies. You know, refraining or transforming out of raw material-driven commodities into, you know, finished products, manufacturing, industrial, you know, serious industrial development. Okay. Let me a little bit be selfish here, if you can allow me. But before we do that, let's go for a short break. Then we can continue.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Okay, so now let me go back again. Let me go back again and tell you the problems we have with this. You know, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area is very good. That's a good initiative. If Africa wants to integrate its economy and make it singular, one single economy. But that can be very possible if we do away with our currencies. And we come up with Africa's currency, one African currency, like an African dollar. We can even negotiate with, players like US dollar or Chinese yuan or any other strong currency. We link that for some time, and then we stand on our own. Botswana did that. Botswana, from the start, they linked their pula to the pound, and then they delinked their pula from the pound, and then they are now on their own. The pula is just its own, and Botswana pula is one of the strongest, currencies in Africa. Why don't we use the Botswana pula in SADC as one single currency? Because SADC right now is a market of 300 million people. SADC has a population of 300 million people, almost matching the EU. Maybe it is not, if it's not matching this, half of the EU. So, now, the entire West, including Canada, Australia, Japan, the United States, they are almost around 800 million. Now, if SADC can come up with a currency, maybe people are taking it, they are taking the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, maybe they are taking it too high. Or maybe they are aiming it too high. Why don't they start with SADC and make Durban SADC's economic epicenter? Or let me maybe say Johannesburg, to become the SADC stock exchange, like a SADC economic capital. And then we have one single, currency and one single economy. We are talking about maybe the SADC dollar. That when you are in SADC, because Africa, we like to copy. But the only problem we have is not the copying. The problem that we have is the pasting. Where do we paste what we have copies?
No matter where you are, If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So, Africa has a problem with pasting. We don't know where to paste what we copied. That is the problem. We know how to copy. We know where to copy. We know whom to copy. And we know how to copy. Let me say, we know how to copy. We know where to copy. We know when to copy. And we know whom to copy. We even know why we copy. But we don't know where to paste what we copy. That is the only major setback that Africa has. So, copy and paste is part of our human nature. We coexist. When we see good things happening there, we also try to implement it here, because this is a global village. But we don't know how to implement certain things. Now, I am thinking SADC must create its singular economy. And then set an example to others. Because there are a lot of blocks now, almost three major blocks, like COMESA, ECOWAS, and SADC. These are three economic blocks in Africa. Then North Africa is on its own. We don't know whether they are coming or going as far as they are concerned. But they are key economic powers, powerhouses.
If you are in a shop ride, you can find it in a Monica Nari, Tarako Harma, Tarako, Tonghaka, Onya, Miami, Poloni, Kodrash, Kominongo, Banina Hamano, Sendomino, Wino, Way, OKG, Omlong, Tokashako, Sera, Back Prophet, Kodra, Ethiromino, Datono, Wino, Sendomino, Wino, Way, No Canto, because the wild protects Ohama Matrigari, Kodrom Longanatano, No Sendomino, Wino, Way, Virgosu, Way, Ragos de Novo, Hupitao Shinji, Morway, Varo in a Neko, Shop Ride, Kakiri.
ShopRite's birthday is in the major league with major low prices. Get 4kg real good IQF chicken mixed portions, only 189 Namibian dollars 99. 10kg champion super maize meal for 134 Namibian dollars 99. And 200 grams Baker's Eat Some More shortbread or chocolate biscuits. All variants, just 29 Namibian dollars 99 each. Valid until 9 August 2026. Get major savings with ShopRite's major league birthday. Plus, pick a box for a chance to win your share of over $500,000 Namibian dollars and weekly gift cards. Buy any three participating products. WhatsApp the code on your till slip and pick a box to see if you're a winner. Only at ShopRite.
All right. So when it comes to North Africa, North Africa has powerful economic figures such as Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, you know, and you have you also have Egypt there. These are very powerful economies. And then you also have Ethiopia, but Ethiopia is not really that much of North Africa. We can say it's north, but mostly the Horn of Africa. So, but you have key players such as Eritrea, the countries that are very stable, Djibouti, Eritrea, Egypt, and then in fact you have Morocco, you have Tunisia there. Yeah, you have countries such as Mauritania. They're doing more or less quite well. So I don't know now whether the Africa Continental Free Trade Area is inclusive of these northern brothers that are, you know, mostly socially not Africans. They are socially not African, though they are, you know, geographically African. They are not Africans. Because if you look at the history of the North Africa was full of black people. Okay. But it was in the 700 and, you know, 800 or in the 7th and 8th century where Islamic faith, you know, swept across the northern African area. And then they did what Argentina did to the black people in the 18th century. But that's another history for another day. And that's why you see Morocco, Tunisia, you know, very different people. And in fact, even Egypt itself. So, and you know the word Mauritania come from the word Mauros, which means the land of the blacks. But if you go in Mauritania, you'll find fewer blacks than the name itself. I think Mauritania need to be renamed. So, such things. And then you have Libya. Libya, which is also coming up. It's coming in order now, as though in total chaos still. But they have resumed with the sale of the oil into the global market. So they are now producing, they started producing oil and selling it for revenue. So, which is a good news. In fact, if Libya is recovering, just like Syria now, Syria is also busy recovering, and it has been removed from the list of terrorist-sponsored countries. So if the Syrian economy start to grow, then that's one country becoming stable in a region. Because one stability is just but many also. Just like one instability is just but a problem to everyone. Because if anything happens to Mozambique, that becomes a problem to South Africa and countries neighboring Mozambique because of, you know, people that will flock from Mozambique into those countries in search of stable, you know, life. So I don't know whether the Africa, you know, Continental Free Trade Area is inclusive of the Northern African, you know, region. because I have never had, you know, anybody from North Africa talking about the African, you know, economic integration. I have never heard about that. And I'm seeing more like Morocco and Tunisia more, you know, linked, more aligned to Europe than they are to Africa. Okay, because of the enclaves between, you know, Morocco and Spain, that they share almost the maritime border. There is an island of Souda, that place that Morocco considers a Spanish occupation. So that makes Morocco a little bit lenient to more Europe than Africa. If you also look at, Algeria, they are selling their gas and oil mostly to Europe. They have a pipeline that goes straight to Spain. Another pipeline used to go through Morocco, but that pipeline was shut. They shut it down in 2021 when there was a problem between Morocco and Algeria over the Sahara, you know, Republic. So, you see that Algeria and Morocco and Tunisia are more, you know, they are more aligned to Europe. You know, countries like Seychelles, Comoros, Mauritius, you know, and then you come up here, you know, Cape Verde. Those countries are in Africa. But they are mostly aligned to Europe because of they have Eurocentric group of language and also, you know, Eurocentric cultural lifestyle. Then we also have the Afro-Asiatic. The Afro-Asiatic, we now talk about the North Africa. And with this Afro, you know, Asiatic genealogical and cultural and language, it makes it difficult for these countries, though they are in Africa, to really be integrated in Africa because they trace their origin to Asia. Just like the countries like Comoros, Mauritius, Seychelles, you know, Madagascar, you know, Cape Verde, they trace their origin to Europe. So they are Afro-Europeans. So the integration, that's why I'm arguing to say, I think we shouldn't talk about the entire Africa yet. Maybe let's talk about the African sub-regions. Let SADC focus on itself. Because the mistake SADC is trying to make is by trying to be inclusive of everyone else, when everyone else may not be on the same page. And I don't think we are on the same page, all of us, because other countries are pursuing the interests still of their colonial ancestors. For example, the Anglophone countries, Francophone. Some of them are still using the francs, or that francs, you know, currency, the francs. So, and they are still, you know, connected to the umbilical cord of France economically. And we are seeing the deadly consequences of, you know, cutting oneself from that through, you know, Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso, the three so-called Sahel states. So, and we are seeing countries like Chad not stable. You know, countries like Burundi, well, not that stable. In the Central African Republic, those countries, you know, then we have countries that are trying like Togo, Benin, Gambia, Gabon, then you have, you know, Cote d'Ivoire there, that are really trying. They are stable, they are fine, their economies are in shambles though, but they are stable. You know, Cote d'Ivoire, Gabon, Gambia, Togo, Benin, those countries are stable. Then you have Nigeria, which is an economic powerhouse of the West Africa. Not only an economic powerhouse, apparently it's a military powerhouse of in West Africa. So you have Ghana, and then you come to East Africa, where you really have Kenya and Tanzania, which are economic powerhouses of East Africa. Then you have, of course, Rwanda and Uganda. These four countries in East Africa are really good. Their economies are good. Their infrastructure is also good. Their education is good, and they are also leading in innovation to a certain extent. And then you have Eritrea, Djibouti, Egypt, and Ethiopia, which are also good economies. They in fact, the Ethiopian airline is the best in Africa, one of the best. Ethiopia have also the powerful military, and also Egypt. Their military is powerful. The economy is good. But are we on the same page as far as what SADC is trying to do? Because this is the 9th SADC industrial meeting. And SADC has the advantage. They have in Africa the best road network. They have countries that have the best road network, the best ports, you know, the best maritime, you know, infrastructure, such as South Africa and Namibia, for example. You know, South Africa and Namibia have the best maritime infrastructure or maritime export. Maritime, you know, they have the best port infrastructure, to put it, you know, clearly. South Africa has the best rail infrastructure, best road, and the economy is the most advanced in Africa. And they happen to be next door. So that positions Namibia at a pace unmatched by other countries. In fact, Namibia is the second in the world when it comes to attract, you know, direct or foreign, you know, foreign direct investment. It's the first after I think they say United Arab Emirates. So, and while we are there, Namibia has also reached the, Namibia is one of the countries among, it's among the 24 countries that have reached 95.95 HIV treatment. So, which means that 95%, Namibia has 95% HIV treatment. In the whole world, Namibia is among the 24 countries in the whole world. So, Namibia is not a country to be, you know, to be taken lightly. It is making strides in many aspects. It is not a country to be taken lightly. It is making strides in many aspects, though we are having, you know, setbacks here and there. But there are areas in which Namibia is outperforming even the major economies and major countries. Because when it comes to the withdrawal of even the U.S. aid, that was going to affect, you know, certain African countries. Namibia was not part of that, because Namibia, the government already came out and to say, look, we can afford to treat our people with, we can afford to still continue with, you know, antiretroviral, you know, drugs to our people. Yeah, because of also looking at our population also, I think we can do that. And Namibia was one of the countries, the first countries to purchase, you know, the COVID-19 vaccine when it was just released. Namibia already bought millions of doses. Yeah, so it is not a country to be taken lightly, and we also need to be, you know, we need to be positive when it comes to our country and the stripes it is making in areas. Of course, where we need to criticize, we criticize, but we also need to compliment where compliment is due. So we give credit where credit is due. Let's go for a short break. We will be right back to continue.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, we continue. The reason why I'm stuck on this, the reason why I'm stuck on this first story, or I made this a first story, is because we need to understand that Africa is not on one page. Africa is not a one, it's not one page. Africa is three pages or four. Africa is Francophone. Africa is Anglophone. And Africa is Lusophone. And Africa is Afro-Asiatic North African or North African bloc. Those four pages cannot unite. So for us to unite and create one single market, one single economy, we need to remove the jacket that we are putting on. Because the moment somebody appears from West Africa, they are speaking French. And somebody appears from Mozambique and Angola, Cape Verde, and is it Guinea-Bissau? They are speaking Portuguese. Then, the moment somebody appears from North Africa, what are they speaking? They are speaking Arabic. And the moment somebody appears from Mauritius, Comoros, wherever. So we cannot be in one page. In fact, language is not an issue. Because if there is a meeting in Europe, some people will speak their languages, everyone will speak in their language, there will be interpreters. But the Europeans are not two pages, three pages, four pages. The Europeans are one page. The EU is a single market. And when they are talking about EU, they are talking about EU, not France, not Britain, not Germany. They are talking about European Union. But there is no way in Africa we can talk about Africa Continental Free Trade Area if you are still baptized in Francophone. If you are still, converts of Anglophone or Commonwealth nations. If we are still, North African, alienated from the rest of Africa. They are their own. The Africa Free Continental Trade Area will not work under that framework. Because we need one single page to say this is the African page. But that will take time. Foreign powers will not allow Africa to be single, to be a single market. They will always try to isolate certain countries from the rest. And that already happened during the Nigerian, Malian and, Burkina Faso uprising against France. Nigeria was ready to send troops to Niger to go and do what? To go and fight for France. So, that will not happen because other countries will be isolated. The countries like Cote d'Ivoire are more French than they are African. Cameroon doesn't even talk. You will never hear anyone from Cameroon talking about Africa Free Trade Area. Because if Cameroon talks about that, Paul Biya will be overthrown that night. So he cannot afford to talk about those things. So this leaves us with the only safe way to do it, which is SADC, because SADC can afford to be one page. SADC can afford to be one page. Because South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, Eswatini, and Lesotho are already one page under SACU. They already have, you know, SACU agreement, and they are already trading with each other. So, and we now only have Zambia, you know, Zimbabwe, Malawi, that are on their own, you know, that are not in SACU. But it is not also difficult to bring them on board, but not under SACU, under the Africa. We can just say the SADC Free Trade Area or SADC Economic Zone. We can just revamp SACU and rename it to SADC Economic Zone. And South Africa should not be the dominant force. It must be a mutual, mutually beneficial group where South Africa does not call the shots. Because under this SACU agreement, South Africa is calling the shots. No country under SACU is allowed to make any agreement, any economic agreement with anyone without, you know, South Africa's consent. So, SACU, under its current format now, it is not an economic zone. It's a marriage certificate.
Attention all bargain hunters. Why pay more when you can pay less at USAFE stores? Get 4 kilos of real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just $189.99 Namibian dollars. Get 5 kilograms of Polana elbow pasta, just $124.99 Namibian dollars. Get a 500 gram brick of Rama 70% fat spread, just $26.99 Namibian dollars. Get 2 liters of Right Brand sunflower oil, just $74.99 Namibian dollars. Get a large bottle of Wellington's tomato sauce, just $29.99 Namibian dollars. And lastly, get 750 grams of crystal gold mayonnaise, just $36.99 Namibian dollars. Save big at USAVE.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
no matter where you are. If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. So, SACCO, as it is now, it's not an economic free zone. Or it's not a free economic zone. It's a marriage certificate. It's an economic polygamous marriage, where South Africa is in an economic marital polygamy with Lesotho, Eswatini, Namibia, and Botswana. And we are talking about 14 countries in SADC. So these are 5 countries already, but 9 countries are not, you know, included in this economic zone, because they have their own standards that makes it difficult for South Africa to marry them, like the way South Africa is married to Namibia, Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini. So SACCO, as it is now, in as much as it is beneficial, SACCO is not an economic zone. SACCO is a marriage certificate. And we don't need marriage certificates. Or maybe they are needed, as long as they are beneficial. This is the reason why Britain wanted to opt out of, you know, the European Union, because they thought they were losing a lot of money being part of the EU, as compared to if they could stay, British. But then, that was, you know, that was impossible. You know, it seems that Britain is now getting back into, you know, EU, from the look of things. So the Brexit was supposed to be completed in 2027. But now it's no longer spoken about. Yeah, it's no longer really talked about. Seems that it's no longer in the agenda. So, but SADC is able to have its economy integrated. SADC is able to do that. Because in SADC you have Angola, you have Botswana, you have Congo. I think Seychelles is part of SADC. Then you have Madagascar, you have Mozambique, you have Zambia, you have Zimbabwe, you have Malawi, then South Africa, then you have Namibia, then you have Lesotho, then, of course, Eswatini, and you have I thought I know the list in the head, but the last country has disappeared from my medulla oblongata. But I like putting things in my brain. Yeah, because we have the brain and we only use 82% of it. But be as it may, that one has caught me off guard. But these 14 countries makes up 300 million people, almost, or over 300 million people. So, but Tanzania is part of SADC. They've also joined SADC. Then Rwanda wanted to join, but then they realized, we can just be part of COMESA. It's also fine. Tanzania is also a member of COMESA because of its location to East Africa. But Tanzania is more SADC than it is East. So, when you look at that, you will see that it is difficult for Africa to economically integrate because we are not one. Forget about what the Pan-Africanists are portraying to say Africa is one. Africa is not one. Africa is four. Africa is four. You know, and we are divided in four regions. And also looking at our four families of languages. You have the Niger-Congo type of family, where you have one part is Bantu, one part is not Bantu. Then you have the Nile. You also they have the Afro-Asiatic. And you have the Eurocentric. You know, the Afro-European countries. That in itself is a barrier already. That in itself is an economic barrier. But how did Europe, with different languages, make it? How did they make it to become one single economy? Because what puts Europe together is trade. But in Africa, we cannot yet talk about trade as one. So, in conclusion, I would say that let SADC be an economic zone on its own. Let SADC create its own economic zone. And these five countries, South Africa, Eswatini, Lesotho, Botswana, and Namibia, maybe they need to divorce and remarry in a broader SADC context. Because the South African Customs Union, in as much as it is beneficial, I see it more of like a marriage certificate. Because South Africa benefits more in SACU than anybody else. And South Africa calls the shots. South Africa tells everyone else to say, look, you cannot be in trade agreement with a country without South Africa's consent. That is one of the SACU principles. So, in other words, that will be an economic cheating. You will be economically cheating on South Africa. So that's a marital agreement. It's an economic polygamy. So it's economic polygamy Well, it has been beneficial, really. You look at Namibia, South Africa, you look at Namibia, Eswatini, Lesotho. Their currencies linked to South African rand. So, at least that has produced some, stability, or provided some stability. But moving forward, we need a broadened SADC economic context. When we are talking about the SADC economic zone, the SADC free economic zone, whatever they will call it, and then other countries will follow suit. That's why countries from others, Congo is in where? Congo is not here. Congo is in Central Africa. But DRC wanted to join SADC because they don't see themselves as part of East Africa, even if they are located geographically in East Africa. They don't see themselves as part of COMESA. I'm not sure where Madagascar is and Seychelles. But they would rather be part of SADC than being part of, other blocks there. To the point that Rwanda also wanted to join SADC because SADC is not just a region. SADC is an example of stability in Africa. SADC is not just a region, of 300 million people. SADC is an example of stability. So if, of course we have had Zimbabwe with the political crisis here and there, but when it comes to elections in SADC, SADC has the most stable elections in Africa. No coup, no unrest, nothing. Except Mozambique and Zimbabwe. They are the ones that have been at least problematic in that area. But things know how to cool down in SADC. If it was West Africa, Mozambique would have been on fire still now. So apart from Mozambique and Zimbabwe, the majority of the countries in SADC are politically stable. So that's why I'm saying that SADC is not just a continent, a subcontinent, or an African sub-region. SADC is an African torch. It's relatively very quiet, stable, and it can be very easy to trade among itself by creating a SADC economic zone, SADC passport. It can be used in SADC. You can move from one place to the other in SADC. We are just supposed to integrate to say no more plus 264, no more plus 263. If you want to call from here to Zambia, you can just call directly. So we need to do away with this plus 264 things, because that is a limitation. In Africa, you don't have you don't call directly. You cannot fly straight from one country to the other. It is even more expensive to fly from here to Nigeria than it is to fly from here to London or Germany. because of complicated, you know, air routes. So that's why we are saying that the Africa Free Trade Area, well, I think it is not something that is possible entirely in Africa. But it is very possible in SADC. All right, let's leave this story. I think we have done justice on it. It's 15 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. And I'll soon open the line. But first of all, let's go for a short break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Kalau noka tutu kepena, noka kwadike mbapila opa udidike.
Yo, sana ngondo, nifendera yo mbonu, mbonu, mbosho. Yo, upo, mwanungu, nwa chamo niko mafe, mbapie kaya no yo, mwoshimaro, amo, mwoshimaro, asimbera, asi, kepangilu, asi, penyano. Mwona, nde, zina, na, wangiru, pangilu, mwoku, nifangu, mwanda, esi, mwopologa, opa.
Nifendera, ye gumboko mvura, nengo kandingo shoko mvura, mzono ahai ikombele, mzono ifendera. To fendere shashitorongi sehara, peha jerero. Pehara, omu ashikerero talivuro kumono, okathiringa kukwatera pombele wanji ya. Shoshu imaru wa mzono ahai ukirira kombele wao shirongo.
Kala nakuendela pa mwono programa kusamosha, one mbae shivo. Kumanda hafiyo titano, kukujapon longo ngula, fiyo petata longo nambali. Right, so we cannot talk about development without talking about housing, especially in Namibia. And you know, young people are one of the people that are homeless, that don't have land. They cannot find land. Yet yesterday there was land grabbing in Mariental. And the mayor was telling the residents of the consequences of illegally occupying land. And the young people are saying, we are illegally occupying land because you are giving land to foreigners, and when we apply for land, you are not giving us land. Now, we also had the Progressive Party in the city of Windhoek that promised to give land to the people because they defeated SWAPO. But then they ended up doing the same thing that SWAPO was doing, demolishing, you know, shacks. So this kind of entanglement is what we are talking about. And I am joined online with the most dramatic Michael Saddam Mshelelo. Morning.
Morning, Tate. Morning, Franz. How are you?
Good.
Very well.
Yes.
Yes.
You have heard what I said. What do you say?
No, the problem is for as long as there is an existence of landlessness, people will eventually resort to doing anything necessary and by any means necessary to also have a place that they can call home. When people grab land, they don't grab land because it is what they desire to do. It is because the system has systematically failed them. Now, I can never denounce people who go and grab land. In fact, I would want to encourage them, because this is the only way those individuals who are in power can perhaps see the urgency and the dire need that our people are desperate to own land so that they can have a place that they can call home. Now, for the last 36 years, we have systematically witnessed how houses that were once priced at either $10,000 or $15,000 or $30,000 or $50,000, this is now a house plus the land. That's what they used to cost. The other day I was having a conversation with a gentleman, and he said he bought his house in 1996. He bought it for close to about 60,000. Now, the question is, between 1996 and 2026, what exactly happened that today the same house that was 60 or 70,000, today all of a sudden is costing 2 million or 3 million Namibian dollars? Now, when people say that, no, prices are driven by inflation, prices are driven by all these economic indicators that people sort of say, that is absolutely wrong. This housing crisis is one that has been deliberately created as a result of greed, as a result of selfishness, and as a result of profiteering. Because when you have a low supply of something, the demand becomes high. Today, our people are forced into high rental, paying high rents. Whether you have to pay for one bedroom, you are forced to pay 10,000, 12,000, whatever amount. Because the market is a market of who is willing to take and at what price are they willing to pay. So there must be a massive influx of either homes or land being provided at a true affordable rate in order for this issue to be resolved. And for as long as we don't somehow resolve this issue of landlessness, I can guarantee you I'm no prophet, but one day we are going to see a revolution in this country as a result of us denying people a place that they can call home.
Okay, but Mike, look, this issue of housing, most of people are trying to say they are coming up with low-cost housing and so on. But when you hear
when you hear that so-called low-cost housing, it's still in the hundreds of thousands, which cannot be affordable to people that you are talking about. If you are talking about a 10,000 costing house, can it be practically possible right now to sell a house at 10,000?
Practically, perhaps not. Because we must be realistic and we must be honest. If you are going to sell a house for, to someone at 10,000, is that house going to have services? Is there going to be provision of sewer? Is there going to be provision of electricity? Is there going to be provision of water? Now, is it doable? Yes, it is doable. How is it doable? It's going to need massive financing. Now, we live in a country where we have one of the largest funds called the Government Institute Pension Fund. They're sitting with close to about now 260 to 280 billion. Now, the people who contribute towards this fund, teachers, civil servants, soldiers, nurses, police, these same people are landless. They don't have houses. They are renting. They are either in the barracks or they are in nurses' homes or they are in one form of rental or another. But this same pension fund will take billions of dollars, go build shopping malls that do not benefit these people who are contributing towards this pension fund. Yet this fund has the necessary resources to be able to say, colleagues, how can we service land, give it to our people who are already the ones contributing to this particular fund at almost a zero-rated cost? Meaning that, let me give you a practical example. If servicing is going to cost 60,000, then that civil servant, whether they are an officer or they are a soldier or whether they are a teacher or they are just a cleaner in government, they must then be able to just pay back that 60,000 that was utilized to service their plot, and then they are given their title deed, and then it's sort of a recovery mode because the fund must be able to recover its input cost, but the fund was never designed to sort of become a cash cow for capitalists who have the means to go borrow funds from there in order for them just to build shopping malls that do not benefit these people who contribute towards the fund. Now, that's just for civil servants. Now, what about an ordinary citizen? An ordinary citizen, this is how they can be assisted. Government then comes in, and government then starts to say, let's negotiate with these mining companies. Listen here, B2 Gold, Horongo Cement, Chita Cement, Osino Gold, and Husap and all these guys. We have a housing crisis in our country. As a responsible government, we want to house our people. From now onwards, we are going to increase the taxes or the royalties that we are supposed to tax you, and let us assume 10% of whatever revenue you generate automatically starts going into a fund that is going to accelerate housing development. I'll give you a practical example of B2.
Okay, just hold on your thought. Let's just quickly go to a short break. Then we'll be right back. Just hold on that thought.
Not a problem.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, we can continue.
Yes, so practical example. B2 Gold generated close to about 12 billion in gold revenue in 2025. Now, if we just take 10% of that 12 billion, that simply means we now have 1.2 billion 1.2 billion, if I do rough calculations for you, you are able to service at least nothing less than 20 to 30,000 plots. Now, that's just from B2 Gold. If you go to Hustaf Mine, you do the same thing. So eventually, from all the mining activities, from diamonds, from all of these things, you just have a rule, or you create a law, or you give a cabinet directive to say, colleagues, from your revenue that you are going to generate, we want to fix this problem of housing. I can guarantee you, within a space of 1 or 2 years, this country should not be able to have a housing crisis, because number one, we are a small population. We're not like China that has to house 1.4 billion people. We're not India that has to house 1.6 billion people. We are less than 3 million, and half of those 3 million people are landless, they are homeless, they are living in former settlements due to the fact that there is no proactive government that is saying, colleagues, enough is enough, something should be done in order for us to ensure that housing is no longer treated as a commodity, but housing should become a basic need. Now, there are always arguments to say that, no, in this country, there is free enterprise and that government must not regulate sectors. But that is completely untrue. If you look at the taxi industry, it's one of the most heavily regulated industries. It was only recently that taxis got an increase of, I'm not quite sure how much, that taxi is now, I think, $15 Namibian. If you go to any petrol station, doesn't matter whether it's in North Uber or doesn't matter whether it's in Katima, the petrol and diesel price is set at a certain price. Now, what we are saying is housing is also a critical basic human need. It must be regulated. It must be controlled. Government cannot just leave it to speculators. Government cannot just leave it to willing buyer, willing seller. It must be an industry where government says, colleagues, none of us are able to produce land. None of us can give birth to land. Land is our only natural resource that every Namibian should have a birthright to, and it must be shared equally. Those who are unwilling to share it equally with others, then those people must not be considered Namibians, because you cannot claim to be a Namibian, yet you don't love other Namibians. So that is our argument here.
Yeah, but Mike, the issue is affordability. Because even if you say you service how many plots, you are still going to sell these houses to a few hundred thousands. And that now still exclude a street vendor from owning a house. Because
a street vendor
is not able to get that 100,000.
No, so here's the thing. You see, land is not something that moves around. Let me give you a practical example, Franz. If I give you a plot today, why should I be in a hurry for you to pay that 100,000? Let us come up with innovative models to say, okay, that Franz, the plot costed us 120,000 to put services on it. However, because we understand you only sell Kapana, can you please pay us $500 Namibian per month for the next 10 years or for the next 15 years? Because the land is going to remain there, whether it is today, whether it is tomorrow, whether it is 100 years from now. So why must the government be in such a hurry to recover that cost of the services that they've put in? So we must be able to find a pragmatic manner in which people are able to be afforded a chance for them to do monthly payments. Yes, that cleaner working for government at Onanjokwe perhaps does not have the 100,000 cash, but surely that cleaner can afford from her monthly salary to be deducted a 700 that will be going towards the payment of her land. And should the event be one day that she retires and she's unable to continue making payments, then surely we can have a policy to say, once you are a pensioner, you have reached the age of 60, we sort of give a waiver to cancel out any debts that you have on that particular land, and then the land is given to you. So there must be ways in which we can find practical ways for our people who are unable to access financing to be able to pay some of these things. Now, the argument is always this, to say, we allow people to be paying off other people's mortgages with these rentals. But that same individual apparently does not qualify to have their own home. Who sets these criteria? And when the banks come up with these models to say, no, a house and a car cannot be compared to be the same. France, if the bank is going to loan me 1 million, that 1 million must just be viewed as a million, irrespective of whether that million went to buy a car or whether that million went to buy a house. The same method that is used to calculate for a vehicle payment to be paid off in 5 years, then why can't that same model not apply to a house? The bank will come up with all sorts of things. They come up with all sorts of theories. And that is because we have institutions that somehow appear to be toothless, because it cannot be correct that we have an institution called the Bank of Namibia that is supposed to be regulating banks, but it appears to me that it is the commercial banks that are regulating Bank of Namibia. So that simply means that our institutions are either utterly useless or they are utterly just toothless, and we just have institutions in mouth, but these institutions are unable to rein in these greedy banks that are just for profit driven, and they somehow do nothing for society. Because let us be practically honest with one another. What good do banks do for society apart from milking us with high charges? They do absolutely nothing. So perhaps we must be able to evaluate and say, do we honestly need banks, or must government come in and government must take ownership of these banks? And then we have state-owned controlled banks that are not profit-driven, but they are driven for the interest of the people. Because right now, the banks that we currently have, they are the ones who are here. As soon as you default on your loan that you have been paying off for 20 years, they don't even say, Kuta, no, listen here, you have paid your house for this long. Perhaps is there a way we can arrange for you to give you a payment holiday? They just immediately begin saying, we are coming to repossess your house. So I think that is a bit unfair. It is inhumane. It's a form of cruelty. And if one has to view the model in which our banks still operate, I think they border on the lines of colonialism and slavery. And unfortunately, they must be brought to book and they must be regulated, because this thing can no longer be allowed where these guys just run around like it's the wild, wild west.
Right. Michael Mshilelo, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure.
For a point you have given us on housing, let's hear from what the listeners will have to say on this point.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that was Michael Mshelelo, one of the people that are at the helm of, when it comes to, there will be no land grabbing if Michael Mshelelo is not there. So that's why I call him the most dramatic Saddam Mshelelo. Now, what do you have to say? 083-2-888-401, that's the number in studio. If you want to be part of the conversation, this is Friday edition of Unpacking, and we continue. We still have a lot to talk about, but who am I not to open the lines this time? It is 21 minutes to 8, and that's 8 o'clock is going to be the last hour. 9 o'clock, I'll be out of here, and today, because it is Friday, it's a good Friday. I don't want to say a lot of things. So we had SME, small and medium, you know, entrepreneur bank. It was eaten up. So if the government comes up with a bank, will it not be eaten up when the government is not even able to manage its medical store? You know, the government medical store cannot be managed. Medicine is disappearing. How much more if it becomes a government bank? Are we not going to wake up one day, the bank, somebody has banked the whole money. The entire bank is gone in a smoke. Now, that means that almost, I think, corruption is almost becoming systemic. In these 2 years, that 2025, it seems that things are becoming, you know, things are deteriorating when it comes to, especially, you know, the health sector. The health sector is a most hard hit when it comes to this. Because if the Anti-Corruption Commission is not even able to investigate the disappearing, the medicine at the medical store, then that tells you a lot. You know, that tells you a lot. So if government comes up with a bank, are we not going to wake up to hear that there are people arrested already? That they've taken the bank down. The bank has been taken down. You know, are we not going to hear people arrested for taking the bank down? For burning the whole bank? So that's where we stand. And in fact, part of what Michael Amsielelo said was said by the Minister of Urban and Rural Housing, or Urban and Rural Development. James Sankwasa, in the in Parliament, he was saying, who is regulating the banks? And it seems because these banks are not Namibian banks. These are foreign banks. They are not Namibians. So the most of these banks are from South Africa. And he was saying that because we don't have a bank of our own, it is difficult to regulate these banks because they are not our banks. And the banks can come up with their own charges, and which means the Namibians are at the mercy of whatever charges any bank can come up with. Now, that's not even, we cannot even crucify banks alone. Even a parastatal, Namibian parastatal. Look at the rates that they are giving when it comes to recharging. How much do you get for a $10 recharge? Who is talking to MTC about that? Before you even jump on the banks and talk about banks, let's look at our own parastatal, which are Namibian, you know, companies, the state-owned companies. Look at how much electricity is now. And in 2002, I remember that you used to buy electricity for $10 and you get 20 units in $10. From 2002 to 2026, how many years is that? That's 24 years. in 24 years, you have 37 units now in $100. So even state-owned, enterprises or state-owned, organizations, or even parastatals, they are also not sparing anyone. So it's a capitalist world with inflation. It's an inflation world. So if the house was costing 60,000 in, 1996, how did it come to 3 million in 2026? That is in 23 years. In almost 30 years. It is something that, worrisome. Because in 1996, I remember bread was how much? Bread was 90 cents. Used to buy bread at 90 cents in 1996. Before it became $1. No, I found it at $1.80. Before it became $2. Before it jumped to $2.50. Taxi from Oshakati to Ongwediva was $3. You pay $3 taxi from Ongwediva to Oshakati before it became $3.50 in 1997. So that's a price. But how much do you pay now from, Oshakati to? And my uncle was telling me that with a Bantam in 1998, he used to fill it at $100 and something or $200. Full tank. So, because he used to work in Mariental, from Mariental to Katima, if he puts full tank, in fact, I was debating with him, because he was telling me that $65 could fill a tank in the 90s. So I was debating with him. Now, the prices have jumped. Even the cars were costing 10,000, 20,000 to buy a car. Now you cannot buy a car at 20,000. So it's inflation. Right. We go for a short break, but don't forget, you can call in. The number in studio is 083-288-4001. You can call in if you want to be part of the conversation. If you have something to say on housing, what can we do to make sure housing is affordable?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. 10 minutes into the hour of 8 o'clock, we are talking about, we've been talking about the difficulties of having one economy in Africa. And we also will now talk about the difficulties of owning a house in Namibia. Now, maybe if we connect it to say, okay, now let's say it's the Africa Free Trade Area. You know, and foreigners come to Namibia, they will buy more houses than, you know, the locals, because maybe the foreign people will have more money, will have money to come and settle in Namibia, and they buy houses. So, when it comes to land, then Namibia in South Africa, Namibia, South Africa, Zimbabwe. Those three countries are the only countries that have land issues in SADC. In Angola, in Zambia, in Malawi, Mozambique, Madagascar, they don't have land issues. It is easy for you to acquire land and buy and build your own house. In Zambia, it's very easy to get land and build your own house. But Namibia is very difficult because our land issue is embedded into colonial past. Because the way, you know, independence was achieved in Namibia, in South Africa, and in Zimbabwe is different from the way, you know, independence was achieved in the rest of the SADC countries. Because in Zambia, the British decided, guys, take, it's your country. They left it intact. But in Zimbabwe, next door, the British, when they left, The white settlers, the British settlers that were in Zimbabwe, refused to follow the British order on how they should give land back, on how they should. That's why the Zimbabwean whites were sanctioned by the British. And then they linked up with the South African, you know, government, white government. That is what supported the, you know, Ian Smith and others. Because Ian Smith was sanctioned by the British. You know, the British, in as much as they did what they did, which is when it comes to colonialism, the better colonizers were the British, because their model of colonizing was totally different from the rest. So they were more humane than the rest. They were more humane than the South African white government, for example, or than the French and the Portuguese. But the South African white government was also more humane than the French and the Portuguese. You need to look at countries that were colonized by France. that those countries don't even have shape. You need to look at countries that were colonized by Portugal, and you see the state in which they were left. But if you look at Malawi, Zimbabwe, Zambia, at least Tanzania, and also let me exclude Tanzania for a reason. Let's talk about Kenya. And you look at countries that were colonized by Britain, how it is, you know, they gave it all to independence. They gave it all. We are living, and we are giving you everything. You mess your economy up yourself, but we are leaving it up to you. We are leaving it all to you. But South Africa and Zimbabwe and Namibia, it was not the case. South Africa, Zimbabwe, Namibia, independence is yours politically, but economically, you are not independent. The economy is ours. Land is ours. So that's what made it difficult for anyone to have land in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, and in Namibia. In fact, Namibia and South Africa are the most unequal countries in the world. And that is not a white and black problem. It's both, because there are black people that have become elite, that are richer, and they are acquiring more. So the rich is the richest and continue to be richer and richer. And the poor is the poorest and continues to be poor and more poorer. That's a model of life in South Africa, in Zimbabwe, and in Namibia. But countries like Lesotho, like Eswatini, and Botswana, it is, once you are a citizen, you can get land easily, because that land is theirs entirely. There is no genealogical white, you know, land ownership the way it is in South Africa and in Namibia. So that's why at some point the whites in Zimbabwe and the whites in South Africa were at some point sanctioned. Because,
do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only 25 Namibian dollars. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just 18.99 Namibian dollars. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just 49.99 Namibian dollars. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for 28.99 Namibian dollars. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only 12.99 Namibian dollars. You Save. Where else?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device,
you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, it's 8 o'clock. So the West started to realize, because that time it was the Cold War era in the 80s and in the late 70s, early 80s. It was during the Cold War when the Cold War was becoming hot. Now the West could afford SADC to fall into the hands of communism. And then the British and the Americans, which were the key, you know, figures, in which are the key figures, in fact, of the West, Anglo-Saxons, they wanted to ease up on certain things. But then they were having a knife almost on their back. That was the South African white government and the Zimbabwean white government. These two guys were a problem to the West, because these guys were unprofessional in their colonialization model. And that is what the West wanted to deal with. Because this model, as long as it stood, it was enough reason why communism should come to SADC. So to nip that in the bud, or to nip that in the nice, they decided, look, we are going to sanction Zimbabwe and South Africa. So we are going to sanction them. They wanted to show some solidarity to the so-called liberation movements by that time. And in fact, it worked, because all liberation movements opted to be democratic at the end. So they opted to be democratic at the end, because they saw that, oh, even America is sanctioning South Africa for the apartheid, model of governance. Then I think democracy is the way to go. They decided, backdoor channel agreement, SWAPO, ANC, Chama Cha Mapinduzi, not Chama Cha Mapinduzi, because Chama Cha Mapinduzi was already free. SWAPO, ANC, and ZANU-PF. They decided they were going to be democratic. Well, SWAPO can sing with their communism all they want, but SWAPO is not communist. Neither is it socialist. SWAPO is democratic. They can sing it all they want in their songs, but that SWAPO is not communist. SWAPO is not socialist. SWAPO is democratic. And in fact, they fully adopted a Western governance model. When you look at the Constitution is one of the best constitutions we ever have produced in Africa, if not the world. So ANC can talk about communism and socialist or the socialism all they want, but they are not, because constitutionally South Africa is a child of the West. So that's what complicated things, because the land issue is as very complicated as it can be. And there is no single shot to it. You know, there's no single shot to solve it. The willing buyer, willing seller was SWAPO government admitting at that point that they, in fact, have lost the land war. So that's why the first government came up with a willing buyer, willing seller, which worked to a certain extent, because some white people, white farmers started to cooperate with the government and sell, and they sold their land, but some did not. And if they are selling, they will sell it very high, and the government will not be able to afford. And that ends there. Because at the end of the day, it's a willing seller, willing buyer. So, there is no model in that can work in Namibia and South Africa to solve the land issue. Zimbabwe tried it the hard way and faced it off. And that's where, when the government of Emmerson Mnangagwa came to power, they wanted to do what? They wanted to correct the mistake. But, you know, they wanted to correct the mistake they made in the 2000s by taking land by force. They now started to restore the land, to take back land. But the current president of Zimbabwe was at the helm of that exercise during his predecessor's government. In fact, he has been in power in government ever since independence of Zimbabwe. So he was the Gengob of Zimbabwe. Good morning. Yes.
Morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Good.
Willing buyer and the willing seller is just a remix of a market force, demand and supply. They just try to refresh it.
Okay.
Yeah, they just try to, let me quickly, just remember, they just try to refresh it the same way they said they hide the concept of property, land as a property. They in the constitution, it's not really there directly in Article 16. They said it's a property, but in terms of definition, you could really see that land is a property. When they protect the property part in the constitution in Article 18, meaning they protect the land. And you have to ask now who at the time now own vast of the land. That's why here the government was just repelled property.
And that cannot be amended.
No, I know that, look, there's nothing wrong with the constitution. You know, and because you at the time, the problem is like the government does not want to admit that they lost, that the land is not coming back. And you still find the politicians apparently expressing land without compensation. Bossa, that cannot work. That's a honest opinion I will give you. But, and our politicians and everybody in the swap and everything, they don't want to admit that land coming back. That's why for me, the formula is just carry forward to say, look, just make land productive. That's the way forward. Anything that you are trying to do, because when land is productive, it provides food, it provides employment, it provides finance, both for foreign, because when you have surplus, you export, you know, and all of that. At the end of the day, the way forward is to make land productive. So these things of apparently we are just there, that this is politics, but we cannot be playing politics if we really want to grow the economy. Land is not going to come back. Nobody's going to take land without compensation. That's why, as we were saying, the only way to protect land, because there is still a systematic situation in the country. Back then it was through the war on the gun. Now it's through the proclamation of water towns, because you are extending that colonial, you know, new colonialism in land disposition. This is where our people don't understand. That's why we are saying, look, if you have to proclaim a town, you have to give the rights to the people first, instead of paying them what you call a compensation. So that you just give them title deed, then you let the people to deal with their land the way they want, in terms of the urban planning and something. That's where the politicians that didn't want to go, because they are part of the parcel of the political elite and economic elite and the global elite that want to repossess, to dispossess people of their land in a modern day. So, that's why when they go to say, apparently willing buyer, willing seller. No! Those who understand economy and who also from us who came from a decolonization class, we understand that that's just a simple term of economy, market, demand and supply. If I ask you, who is a willing seller? It's a supplier of the land, the person who has the land. Who is a willing buyer? Is a consumer, the person who wants the land. And who has the land? Is the white? Is the colonial, the former colonializer? And who are demanding the land? Is the black majority, including even the new colonizer that you call the politicians, the modern day. Let's be frank with these things, and let's be also straight talk with these things. We should not be here trying to sugarcoat it. And I must also tell you that there is no better or good bad colonialism. Colonialism is just colonialism. We must not try to rephrase these things. Colonialism, just colonialism, because the ultimate one, ultimate goal is one. Even if you say, look, maybe the French were bad in those countries, then maybe the Boers and what they were good here. What do we have? Why are we complaining? Why don't we have the land? Why unemployment and everything? Because colonialism is not all about gun and something. It has to do with the mind. Because even after people pretend to be independent, why are they not reversing those most of the colonial law? Why they are not even removing the red line? My friend, those things you people called it to say, apparently communism or democratic. My friend, you need to understand that every system of government was only trying to answer one question. The contestation was only one. Like, who must own the factor of property of right? Ne? That was the best consideration. And it must answer one question. Who must own factor of production? That's where the question of property of right coming in. Simple like that. You can say whether Swapo is democratic and what. Just go straight in the policies and ask the people. And this is what people need to understand. So, there is no system of government in the world that is going to work if you cannot give property of right to the people and democracy in the modern society that we are talking right now. If you cannot, your system cannot offer those two things, forget about everything. Nobody is going to support you. That's why, that is the reason why communism collapsed in Russia. Because during the Cold War, they were there fighting while the Americans were pushing democratic right, campaigning for democratic rights in those countries. When people realize that, look, the democracy which has been given by the Americans, it gives property rights and democracy. People buy in and people start demonstrating in those communist countries. Russia has no right but to run away from the global, you know, war conflict and go defend the mainland Russia. That's why you see, you go in China today, you go in Russia. Property of right is there. They only play around with what? Democracy. They have democracy with their own features that allow people to compete. inside. Not maybe in Russia, in China, you might not see the general, you know, people going to elect the president. But there is that a group of people and structure that elect, compete for presidency. Let me end there, Francois.
Thank you very much.
Right, 083-238-401. That's the number in studio. Those who are decolonized. Are you decolonized or recolonized? It's another debate for another day. But whatever it is, we know that SWAPO, when they came to power, they realized they cannot find a one single shot, a one size fits all for the land issue. And then they admitted that they have lost the battle by coming up with willing buyer, willing seller. Willing buyer, willing seller is an admission of the black government that they cannot fight the land war and win it without economic ramifications. So, because what happened in South Africa happened in Namibia, it happened in Zimbabwe. It was to say politically you guys will be free, but economically all these things that we have are ours. Because these are the systems that are built by our grandfathers. You guys cannot have them just walking. It is not just going to be a walk in the park. That's what we are facing in this country. But when I say the British were better, it's obvious because of the way they left countries. They left the countries intact when it comes to infrastructure. Countries had where to start. You know, countries had where to start. You must go to certain countries and see for yourself what I'm talking about. Because France and Portugal, if you guys were colonized by France and Portugal, you would have unknown. If there is any person that is listening now, that is coming from those countries, you can call in and tell these people what I'm talking about. You know, when people come from those countries and they come in this region, in SADC, you know that SADC is the only region in Africa where you have the lowest, very scarce, cases of load shedding. Or let me say, Namibia, in particular. In Namibia, you wake up at 3 o'clock, you can still charge your phone. You wake up at 3 o'clock, you can still buy bread at the service station. You can still buy sugar. You don't buy sugar everywhere in many countries. You don't buy sugar everywhere. So, that's what I'm talking about. And when you look at the white people, even here in Namibia, to be specific, we talk about the Afrikaner whites, or even the Germans that are here. If you look at these people, they seem disconnected from society. They don't come. Few of them maybe will come for national days or national events. But the good thing about this Afrikaner white, their economy is in here. They contribute to the local economy. They have their local businesses in here and mostly employ local people. So they mostly employ local people and they contribute to the local economy. So sometimes when we talk about issues, we should try to remove the Pan-African jacket. Because the problem with Pan-African mentality is we look at issues negatively all the time. And we place ourselves all the time as victims. We are victims, of course. But it doesn't end there. And being a victim does not mean you are innocent. So, being a victim does not mean you are innocent. And this is even what the Ministry of Gender and the police need to understand when it comes to gender-based violence. Because the picture they paint is that women are 100% innocent. And they are 100% victim, which is false and it's a lie. It's not just false, it's not just a lie, it's a dangerous picture. And it's a dangerous undertone they set. Because now a man is 100% guilty and 100% eligible for arrest. The arrest is immediate. Which is totally corrosive. And this is the same mentality that Pan-Africanists have. And most people that claim to be decolonized, they have this mentality of thinking that they are victims and innocent all the time. And that prevents us from seeing the bigger picture in issues. And we cannot monopolize situation and think that the situation might just be interpreted from this angle. If you're not a Pan-Africanist, you are still colonized. We are decolonized. There's nothing like that. Because most people that claim to be decolonized, they are still using Western, the same thing that they are decolonized from. The same thing that they claim to be decolonized from, they are still using those things. Because the thing that Pan-Africanists fail to admit and realize is that the world has always coexisted. There is no singular place in the world that was totally isolated from the other. There's nothing like that in history. The world has always been coexisting. And whether we like it or not, we are going to find ourselves using a Chinese method using and the Chinese using American methods or Russians using African way of doing things in one aspect or the other, because the world has always coexisted. And this is one thing that is refusing to get in the mind of a Pan-Africanist. So, if we become religious about situations, we will deprive ourselves of the advantage of, you know, having a multipolar understanding of the situation. So that's why, myself as an individual, I disassociate myself from being part of a certain organization and a certain group, or belonging to a certain school of thought, because I want to understand life in a multidimensional way. So, Pan-Africanism never existed until maybe, you know, 100 years ago, or some 70 years ago, or 60 years ago. So we can use it as a model of, you know, we can use it as a basis to interpret African situation, because Africa is bigger than that. All right. 26 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. The number in studio is 083-288-401. We are talking about what can we do? Is there any solution to the land issue? Are we able to solve the land situation? What can we do to make housing affordable? Because now, when we talk about affordable houses and people, everyone is coming up with is claiming to have found the solution, it's the housing, and then you say, no, the house is, you know, we are not going to use the bank, or we are going to use our own model. Before you know, they ask you a bank statement. Now, these are the same people that are saying they are not going to use a bank. But now, you are asking me for a bank statement for me to qualify for your house. So what are we talking about? What are we saying? Are we using...
Rimonenea kololo internet yendelela to iturirwa moshari. Ove toho pifanata ngoshimaruwa shifike pedola danamibio mawa veja varini na mathele eja atano. Okujame fikula tetela aguste fio mama fikwedo milongo natuwa septemba. Itoka pulo ufuto shimaruwa shonumba okuturirwa mwea kulolo engenge oeli shangifo kontrakta keshe yo Peratus Fiber ile Skyfi. Oto turirwa mwea kulolo ripelo internet. Kupifa fio pedola danamibio mawa veja varini na mathele eja atano. Omeumbo ilo monge shefa ea kulo only nongushu. Talela po peratus.africa/Namibia. Nde toli shangifanena.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Are we taking advantage of people's immediate situation? You know, are we taking advantage of people's immediate situation by saying we are going to introduce low-cost housing? Low-cost, what do we mean by low-cost? Lower than a million? And if it is lower than a million, you already have kicked out a lot of people that cannot afford. And let alone your requirements. Because you are also trying, you are saying you are not going to go through the bank or using bank models. But you are asking for a banking statement. A bank statement, 3 months or maybe 6 months bank statement. Are you not already using the bank? So is there any way to do with how to deal with housing without using the bank? Because some years ago there was another, you know, organization that came up to say they were going to provide cheap houses. And people flocked, they realized they cannot afford. And then now we don't hear it anymore. So everyone comes up with low cost, and then we don't hear it anymore. So that is that's a predicament in which we are. So the question for today is that, what can be done? Or is there any solution to this land issue? Or is there any solution to this housing deadlock? The point that even parliamentarians don't have a house, apparently, according to some report. That's what 2022, news. We're talking about not having accommodation. Okay, so lastly, it is twenty-nine minutes to 9 o'clock. It's 29 minutes to 9. The number in studio is 083-288-401. You still have time for you to air your views and also maybe just trying to provide some solution to the crisis that we are facing as far as housing is concerned. I always like to give historical background to issues so that we understand. The president had a conference or a breakfast meeting at NIPAM. You know, meeting heads of, you know, state-owned enterprises, CEOs, and so forth. But then the president was disappointed because she thought the meeting was going to be private, you know, just them, her, and the CEOs. But then the people made the meeting to be public, and the president is saying, how do I make a meeting with the whole country on this issue? Yes.
Yes, Dr. Franz.
Morning.
Yes, morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right, man.
Yes.
Complain, but we have to complain.
Mm.
Oh, we have to come up with points and suggestions. Yeah, Master Francis, when it comes to housing and the land delivery, I think when you look at Namibia and South Africa, when it comes to land, is that I think our people after independence will become greedy when it comes to the distribution of the land. Because most people, when they are talking about the land, they think we have to grab the farm from the white people and so on. the person just asking a 500 meter just to build the house, to have a roof on top of your head where you are going to sleep. Or when you leave this earth, at least your kids have something to call home. But same like in Namibia, we only have that's
the
only land which you are
democratic. Your own plot. The free plot.
Yeah, the free plot. That's the only one.
The one that you'll be sleeping on, you are just going to sleep forever and ever.
Yeah, forever and ever, yeah. Nobody will disturb you. Ah, but anyway, they will disturb you. Because we saw some, they are even starting living among the dead. Somewhere in the robot is happening and in the Oshakati also. Where people are putting their kabash in there to the cemetery. You see now, where the people are supposed to rest in peace, but we are not going to rest in peace because now we are having this. Their life among you guys who are gone. The problem I think we are having in Africa, and not in Africa, but especially in Namibia, is that we have small populations with a big land. And if you look, Master Franz, we are not supposed to cry for land in Namibia. The way we are making even, just imagine, you are buying a plot, which is not even just services, and there's no structure, but you are buying for 1.5 million. How many people are able to afford? If you are saying the study was done and the most people who are employed in Namibia, they're earning more than, they're earning between 2,000 to 3,000. Majority. I'm talking about the majority now. How many of people are able to afford a rent which is costing 1.5? And when you buy, what are you going to buy, to build with? The problem is that we are having greedy people in Namibia. And this is not, we are looking at a what, at a skin color. No, these are our own people. It got nothing to do with skin color at all. They are just greedy, all of them. Whoever holding the title deeds, they become greedy because they are, what they are doing now, they are using them to decolonize us. They are using the land state to do that. Our brothers and sisters, when they are finished their school, they are going to a land to their apartment where they develop. And that is the problem I think we have in Namibia. We can talk about what come up with this policy and whatever, but as long as we know we have a divided land, it's not going to work in our favor. And it is what is happening. Because now look, how can like people like Amusero come up with what? Buy land for you are depositing 1.5 thousand to 5 years. Then you end that plot of yours for 50,000. And they're talking about even like luxury plots. Because now if you are living somewhere in the airport, it's just not luxury. Not everybody wants to live near to the aeroplane, except some who don't like noise. But most people are preferring to live that side. But how come we have a municipality of Window who's even claiming to want to have what? Krotop to be included in the municipality of Window. And I'm looking at that the same times. This municipality of Window, they need to make a provision, like to leave some of this less than to be in their own, learning their own affairs. Because that's why we have a port wall with, just made it with, the land ended at what, in somewhere in Afidis. But up to now, Mr. Franza, when you go to Katutura, around Katutura, those port walls are still visible. How many months are we going to have rain anytime? But when you have a municipality who wants to claim Koroto, Dorotabs, somewhere around those farms and so on, that is a part of Windhoek. But here, you have a municipality which, of Windhoek which is failing to give people a decent plot. I'm telling you, people who have been in the Kabash, Sansa, and our independence, some of maybe they are fallen, they are retired, their kids are still there in those campuses. You're talking about Goreha, you're talking about Kanja Park, you talk about Havana, Undini, and so on. When they are going to upgrade this location? The problem that we are having here is, and sometimes I'm looking at this, because it's got also to do with leadership. The leadership which you don't have, because once you have a person making decisions in favor for majority, things can happen anytime. But when you have a leader who is listening like me, the way I'm talking to you now, then we are not going anywhere. But you have if a leader who is having a command saying, tomorrow, when you wake up, every budget at 2 o'clock, they must have a brick. Kill a brick, then it's going to happen. That is a command. And that is a leadership sometimes which we need. We don't need a leadership who is always, okay, what can I do? Okay, maybe we have to come up with. No, not maybe we have to come up. Sometimes we have to take, you have to direct the people what to say, to do. Not to say what they are going to tell them what they are going to do, but to tell them a command that that's what I'm going to do. I want you guys tomorrow to move this way. But if you look what is happening, why these things are only happening in South Africa and Namibia and Zimbabwe? Why is not happening in Angola or Zambia or Botswana? Because of this, I can give you an example like Zambia. Zambia, I think they understand more democracy than us. Mostly in SADC. Because what you see, sometimes they even change the what? The way they are changing their part, you can see that these people understand democracy. Not like us, the way we are. You are listening like, no, what can I do? Oh, my parents, they are all dead from SWAPO. So I'll just continue the way this work will continue. But your capacity is right and removed. Not I'm just saying a party or just an example.
No, but the person that is coming to remove your Kabashu is not Swapo. It's a combination of political parties. And
I understand.
Yeah, the issue of being in Swapo is a democratic choice of an individual.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so...
But this thing is, you know what? It's only happening now because it's where we see that now we are having a combination of democracy when it comes to leadership of the municipality. But those days, it's 100% swap.
Yes, but when you look at 2020 in city of Windhoek,
yeah,
what did the progressive force say? When they overthrew SWAPO majority in city of Windhoek. They said what?
You know what?
They say no more removal of sharks.
But
what happened within a month? They removed more sharks than what SWAPO could have done.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying, huh? It's not about like individual. It's a whole bunch of people which are corrupt. And this is what mostly this is what I'm saying. We are not going anywhere when you start using what to have behind the what thing and the real estate developer. Because our leaders, what they are doing? Most of you, if you go to the what, who own this flat? It's a cousin of who? Cousin who knows somebody. It's always like that. That's why we are having this problem of land delivery. How can you have a teacher who cannot afford even what? A house in Namibia, or a nurse, or a policeman. We are talking about the people who are secure now. but they cannot afford a house. From there, do you think if it's a person like a nurse and teacher, they are failing to get a plot, do you think ordinarily like a taxi driver or security guard able to afford those houses? It's an issue which I'm telling you that we need to start developing the way. I don't know how Amuselelo come up with Amomo to have a plot which can cost 50,000. Why our government can fail that, but Amuselelo can find that a loophole which our government cannot fund to do that for their own people. Anyway, Master Flans, let me give you other people a chance.
Thank you very much. Right.
You can do the same, 083-2888-401. That is the number in studio if you want to be part of the conversation. 083-2888-401. It's a number in studio. So, okay. At least, if that is true, what Mshelelo and Amoma have come up to say, you pay 1.5, at least many people can afford 1.5 per month, or is what you are talking about to say, look, you can pay 700, 500 per month, then we give you have your piece of land, you can put your, it's your place, put your water, electricity there, yeah, it's your place, yeah, that can work. But for profit, you know, driven entities, we should not also be deprived of the right. If the people can afford millions of dollars to buy houses, let it work. So, and everyone should focus on their target, you know, market. Yeah. Anyone can, because this is a mixed economy. And there are things that the government can regulate to protect citizens. Maybe there are things that the government cannot regulate. Because government, in as much as it needs to protect citizens, government also needs to protect itself. Because if you become too loud and you don't have power, well, you follow Nicolas Maduro. And African leaders understand that very well. That if you are too loud, while you don't have power, you are going to follow Nicolas Maduro if you don't follow Gaddafi. And African leaders understand that very well. We go for a short break and then we come and do our last.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace. I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM,
Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, we continue. It's 11 minutes to 9. And 9 o'clock, we move out. Or I move out. I move out. Now, the president is disappointed because she thought the meeting was going to be private so that she may talk to the CEOs alone. But then it became public, where everyone was invited. Now, the president at that level cannot talk to everyone because the breakfast meeting was supposed to be between the president and the CEOs and, you know, directors of state-owned enterprises. So it ended up being a meeting for everyone. And now the president said he cannot make a meeting with the whole country at that level. But anyway, she also went on to by saying any CEO and leader of any state-owned enterprise must present a presentation to the president within 24 months plan on how they intend to turn the tide on their organizations that they are leading. Yeah. So, and the president promises to say she's going to be disruptive for the sake of the nation. So she's going to be disruptive. Yeah. So, There is a problem when it comes to, you know, state-owned enterprises, because most of them are just bailed out year in, year out. They are not making money. But the good news is that while we are there making money, Namibia was given license for 5 years. Now they can purchase planes and aircraft. And apparently their first flight will even take on their first flight will take place or will take off by December 1st. Okay? So if Namibia is going to have a Namibian airliner, we are going to see whether the minister will regulate the price properly so that people can afford to fly to Ondangwa. This time, I'm going to fly to somewhere with Namibia. Because sometimes we complain. No, Namibia closed, yes, because you did not use it. Maybe if you used it, it could have lasted long. You see, even if we have hotels that will close tomorrow, you know, hotels that are closing, God forbid, is just an example. And hotels close. There are no more hotels in Namibia. We who don't go to those hotels, we don't eat out on those hotels, we don't sleep in those hotels, we come on air and complain that the hotels are closing down. Oh, Namibia, there's no development here. Even hotels are closing down. But you have never been in a hotel yourself. You know? You have never slept in a hotel, not let alone even eat out. So, you want a hotel to stay open for who? That's how we complain and we say, no, certain types of fish are not sold in our local market. They're just exported out. Yeah, because we don't even eat certain type of fish here in Namibia. But you ask the person, what type of fish in Namibia, what type of fish are those that are not eaten in Namibia? That person cannot provide you with an answer. But they are talking, they are saying boldly, say, no, there are certain fish that are not sold in Namibia. What type of fish are you talking about? That person cannot tell you. Do you know all the fish? Have you bought all the fish that are currently on the market now? You only buy masbanger when you go to the shop. You only go and buy horse mackerel, the one that you call masbanger. That's the only fish you know. Now, you want the other fish to come in the market for whom? Who is going to buy those type of fish? If you only buy one type of fish, that's the only fish you know. To the point that we are even calling certain fish Oshiwambo fish. So if the person only used to Oshiwambo fish, and this person is the same complaining that there are some fish that is not eaten in Namibia, is just exported outside, what are we talking about? We have a tendency of just talking. You know, we have a tendency of just talking, just for the sake of talking. That's why we make meetings and conferences and seminars just to talk and nothing. You know, we talk, no implementation. Just for us to be keynote speakers at organizations, I mean at events, but nothing comes out of the talk. Because we are talkaticians. We are talkers and not doers. Or we talk about the walk. What we are going to walk. Oh, the way we are going to walk with this way, this path. We look at the path and we talk about the way we are going to walk in. And then we continue sitting. And then at the end of the day, I want a result. You want a result from where? Nobody walked, bro. Everyone has been sitting, including yourself. So you can't come and demand the result. Say, okay, did we arrive? Arrive to where? We did not arrive. We did not walk. We were talking. We didn't walk. We have not walked. We only talked. Because we think talking is walking. Some people, when they see the path, they will walk it first. And then talk about it when they arrived. Say, the way we walked. They are talking about their journey when they arrived. But in Africa, we talk about the journey we did not walk. So we talk about the path we did not yet walk. Or we talk about the path we will never walk. So, and some people will walk. And when they arrive the other side, they say, hey, we walked. So they know how near or how far, because they are walking it. They are walking and talking. But we are talking and we are talking, but we are not walking. And then at the end of the day, we want to feel that we have arrived when we did not walk. So that's a problem. And the president will keep making conferences with CEOs. We'll keep making one breakfast after the other. But until she takes a decisive, action to say, guys, if you cannot perform, out. Just to instruct the ministers to say, guys, get all these CEOs that are not performing, get them out. And that's why the minister Sankwasa refused to approve the Rundu CEO, the renewal of the contract, and the CEO of Katima, because the minister said the town council must produce the result of his work first, and it seems that the town council failed to do that, so the minister did not renew his contract.